The Office of Management and Budget tells agencies they'll have five choices of laptop and desktop configurations to buy from now on, and they'll have three choices of places to buy them from, or they have to explain to OMB why they shouldn't have to. Larry Allen is the president of Allen Federal Business Partners, looking at how this policy change will impact industry. Larry, a lot of people paid attention to the idea that Schedule 70, the CIO, CS, and NASA SOUP will be the place where agencies will have to buy hardware from now on. Not as many people paid attention to the piece about the five configurations. What are the implications for both of those items for industry people that want to sell into the government? Thanks for being on today, Larry.
Sure, Francis. Let's take the easy one first, and that's the limitation to the three different contract vehicles. I think those are three very flexible contract vehicles, and that part of the OMB directive is very well intended. The idea is to reduce duplication in the federal IT contract space, and there are literally thousands of government-specific multiple award type contracts in government for IT. There are many that are duplicative of one another, different prices, different terms and conditions for the exact same product. So from a perspective of well-intentioned policy to reduce government acquisition overhead and say, look, you government agencies should really be looking at three contract vehicles only, is well-intended. How well-enforced it's going to be is another matter. That's a good segue to the second part that you mentioned, and that's looking at five specific configurations. I have 26 years of experience in government acquisition, Francis, and I can tell you that anytime government procurement people try to limit customer choice, it usually doesn't end well. And the people who it doesn't end well for are the people in government procurement policy. Federal customers have the same way of voting with their feet and their pocketbook as their commercial counterparts, and trying to limit choice to five preordained configurations, particularly in a fast-changing IT market, is a recipe for a very steep hill to climb if you expect agencies to comply with it.
Steve Kelman, the former OFPP administrator, was on the program yesterday talking about that issue, Larry, and he was not a big fan of what he called a burdensome process for an agency to have to fill out a lot of paperwork to explain why they should be able to buy something besides one of those five configurations. And it occurred to me as I talked to Steve that maybe that was the point. Maybe they made it difficult on purpose to prevent people from being able to vote with their feet, or to make it so difficult to do so that you really had to want to do something outside of those five configurations. If you have to buy just these five things or explain why, and you have to go through one of these three vehicles or explain why, it strikes me that it might be a lot more difficult than people think this time for agencies to vote with their feet.
Well, yes and no. This isn't the first time that this Office of Management and Budget has tried to reestablish centralized government acquisition methods. We've seen this with their strategic sourcing initiative, and the fact is that there's only been a certain amount of buy-in by federal agencies for these so-called mandatory contracts, and an agency will still look at different ways of buying things and not use these mandatory strategic sourcing vehicles. Whether or not they save the money, agencies like having their choice. They like having configurations that meet their specific needs that may be a little bit different based on their mission from what a centralized acquisition authority says. But we have some experience here with a centralized acquisition policy dictate that says thou shalt use these acquisition vehicles, and the votes are already in. And the fact is that a fraction of federal agencies use them. Many agencies will go and do their own thing. Some will copycat. Some will just keep doing what they've been doing.
The ending well part, you referred to the fact that it doesn't usually end well for government policymakers. What does that look like? I mean, I have a hard time imagining agency acquisition officials with pitchforks outside Ann Rung's office.
Well, you know, the classic example that I go back to, Francis, is years ago, the General Services Administration standardized on photocopiers, and they got a fantastic deal on photocopiers and bought a bunch of them in advance and stored them in a warehouse. Problem is, they were end-of-the-run copiers, and that's why they got the good deal on them. The second problem was they bought the copier, but they failed to buy a service plan for it. The result was that they couldn't literally give the copiers away that they had already purchased because federal agencies said, look, it doesn't meet my needs. The buying the service plan on the open market was outrageously expensive. I need something with different functionality. And the result was that centralized acquisition just collapsed and agencies went about and bought the copiers that they needed to buy to meet their missions. And you could use any one of a number of examples, but it's a big government with diverse missions. And it's hard to believe that somebody processing a veteran's claim in Denver is going to have the same configuration needs as somebody who is supporting military personnel deployed overseas. And you could go on, but you can see that, you know, the government has more than five missions. You could make a strong case, I think, for why you would need more than five configurations of a laptop.
Larry Allen's the president of Allen Federal Business Partners, and let's say all of this goes as smoothly as OMB hopes. Are there enough spaces on those three vehicles for companies to get on them such that industry doesn't have to worry that this becomes an all-or-nothing game?
Well, the biggest one that's constantly open to new offers is the GSA schedule. So if you are a company that wants to sell IT and you're concerned that this OMB memo might impact your ability to do that, you want to make sure that you have a schedule. If you do have a schedule, you want to take a look at the items that you have on it to see if you need to expand the number of items on that contract. The other two vehicles, NASA SEWP and NIH's CIOCS, are both very good contracts, but they have specific times when you can make offers and specific times when new offers are not allowed. And we're in a period where both CIOCS and NASA SEWP have recently added a host of new contractors, so they're not really open to new offers today. So the option for companies is the schedules program if they really want to get into that game.
Larry, I have a schedule. My schedule includes being at the event that you're at now. You're at the Coalition for Government Procurement annual fall conference, and I'll see you out there a little bit later today.
Looking forward to it, Francis. It's already started well.